Patristic Nectar Publications is pleased to present A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace, Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe. These short meditations reveal the ancient wisdom of the Church Fathers and apply it to 21st century Christian living. And now, His Grace, Bishop Irenae.
And one of the great teachers and orators amongst the fathers of the Church. This is the saint whose very name, whose moniker, Chrysostom, means the golden-mouthed, so much were his words understood to flow with the riches of the glory of God. And it is true that even today his words resonate amongst Christian faithful with a particular, peculiar importance. St. John Chrysostom, from an historical perspective, is an exceedingly important individual, inasmuch as he was a great preacher, and the recording of his sermons, their being written down and preserved for posterity, allows us beautiful insights, and interesting insights at times, into the way homilies were delivered in the early church. Suffice it to say, they were perhaps a bit more raucous than we might expect them to be. St. John Chrysostom was a preacher who engaged with the actual behaviour of his parishioners. While he was able and often did speak of intricate theological dogma and explanation, he did not shy away from dealing with the practical affairs of how his parishioners were behaving, of correcting moral wrongs, of encouraging, demanding them to lead better lives before God himself. He was a man who could offend in his sermons, who could rile up the emotions of his hearers, because he spoke with a clarity that called sin sin, and addressed righteousness as righteousness. He would attack politicians if he felt that they were preaching the wrong message to the faithful. He would attack lay people's attitudes when they were of laxity, of vainglory. And he offered, by attacking these wrongs, a way out of the captivity with which they held the faithful. By finding what was wrong, by driving a spike through it, it could be killed and a new life could begin. His is a style of preaching that is eminently practical, sometimes hard to swallow, but by doing so, able to release the person from the bonds of their sin. And it's his practical wisdom, often delivered with a certain wit. It's clear that, for example, in his homilies, people would often laugh, sometimes even cheer or jeer, and he has at times to stop them from doing so. But there is a certain wit to his words, which brings his message home with great clarity. One of my personal favourite sayings of St. John's is a comment on the tendency amongst so many people to struggle to please people who, in fact, are not the sort of people we want to be, to make a good impression on people who are not moral examples that should be followed. That simple saying of one line simply goes, "Why, O man, do you spend such energy seeking to please those whom you would never wish to be like?" The first time I heard that saying, I remember myself being quite cut to the heart by it. How much energy do we all expend trying to make a good impression upon people whose idea of right and wrong is so far from godliness? And reflecting on that particular saying, it struck me that we might look at a few of his thoughts on practical interactions amongst the Christian faithful. How are we to deal with our brother and sister, particularly when common occurrences such as envy or jealousy or discord arise between us? So I have for us here four small sayings from the immense corpus of St. John the Golden Mouthed. First, let me offer one which deals with envy, that insidious vice whereby we envy our brother or our sister for the things that they possess which we do not. On this common vice, St. John has the following to say. "Tell me, brother, what dost thou envy? That thy brother has received some spiritual gift? But from whom did he receive it, tell me? Was it not from God? That means that thou art at enmity with him who gave it to him. Seest thou not to what extent evil extends, to what degree of sin it mounts, and what an abyss of punishment it digs? Let us, beloved, flee from this passion. Let us not begin to envy, but let us pray for the envious, and use all measures in order to exterminate this passion in them. This is precisely the kind of swift, direct, practical wisdom that marks out St. John's words. We all at times suffer from this passion of irrational envy, but St. John identifies it as precisely that, an irrational passion. If what we envy is, in particular, spiritual gifts, and how many of us struggle against this passion, we see someone who is more advanced than are we in the spiritual life, who has received gifts that we have not received, and we are envious of this. St. John reminds us it is of God that all spiritual gifts come. And so by irrationally envying our brother or our sister, we are in fact setting ourselves up at enmity with God himself. We are spiting not our brother, but the Lord who gives gifts according to his wisdom, not the wisdom of the world, and certainly not the wisdom of my fallen desires. So St. John, in this small, witty saying, shows us how we come to do battle with God out of our irrational envy with our brother. He has similarly straightforward advice when it comes to dealing with offense, when a brother or sister has offended us for whatever cause, and guile rises up within us. St. John says, "Has someone offended thee? Guard thy breast with the sign of the cross. Remember what took place on the cross, and all will be extinguished. Think not of offences only, but recall also whatever good thou hast received from the one who has offended thee, and all at once thou shalt grow meek. Bring to mind the fear of God, and quickly thou shalt grow more temperate and calm. Train thyself not to offend another during offences themselves, and when offended thou wilt not feel grief. Think to thyself that he who is offending thee is in a frenzy, and not in his right mind, and then thou wilt not be vexed at the offence." Once again, St. John speaks in such practical, direct terms. When we are offended, let our first act be to make the sign of the cross. For if we see this small offence, and generally, normally we are talking about very small things which stir our heart into offence, if we look at these small offences from the perspective, through the lens of the cross of Christ, and St. John says, remember what happened on the cross, the great injustice of a world which acted against its God, and yet the love that was shown there, which sacrificed all self-will, all pride, all possession, for the love of the other, for the love of the one who, in Christ's word, did not know what he was doing. Let us see this offence from that perspective, for when we do, it loses its power to grow anger in our hearts. As St. John says, if we take at that very moment the sign of the cross as our standard for reflection, we will all at once grow meek. We are, says St. John, to bring to mind in these moments when anger towards a brother starts to arise within our heart, bring to mind the fear of God, to question, is my anger righteous? Does this small, this petty offence warrant such an evil in my heart? And then St. John again gives a practical pointer for advice. When someone offends you, think in your heart, this person is upset, they are in a frenzy, they are not in their right mind. If we think this when someone does us wrong, then that poison which turns our response into anger is expelled from our body. The potential to react in an unholy way is driven out. If we say simply, practically, he did not mean it, She must not be in her right mind. She normally would not say such things. He's not altogether well, so I can excuse this apparent offence. If we think in these ways, we learn to see what is good in our neighbour. We learn to see offence as a sign of weakness, and the reception of offence as a greater weakness still. The response we ought to show is to love one another. And St. John has wisdom on that virtue of love as well. From another saying, he writes this: "Love for one another makes us immaculate. There is not a single sin which the power of love, like fire, would not destroy. It is easier for feeble brushwood to withstand a powerful fire than for the nature of sin to withstand the power of love. Let us increase this love, then, in our souls, in order to stand with all the saints, for they, too, all pleased God well by their love for their neighbours." We often say that it is the duty of the Christian to love his neighbour. This is, of course, the commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. But St. John shows us the inner meaning of that commandment. By loving our neighbour, and in particular by loving our enemy, we defeat sin with a stronger force. Just like small brushwood, small tinder, cannot withstand an angry fire, so the small tinder of the anger, of hatred, of offence that another may show us is immediately consumed and destroyed by the love that we can show in response. To love our enemy is to allow sin's destruction through the grace of God. To love our neighbour is to speak with the voice of fire which consumes the evil and the wrong of the world. To love our neighbour is to purify our relationships of the sin of enmity and strife and hatred, to make us immaculate, as St. John says, for fire purifies that which is impure, makes holy the human heart. This is the power of the love we can show one another. When we so love, when we use love to combat envy, to combat offence and anger and hatred, when we use love to purify our hearts and our relationships, God is glorified. In a final saying for today from St. John Chrysostom, we hear the following: "Glory to God is raised up when we live together in harmony, when with one soul we bless God, when we tolerate one who is weaker than we, and when we do not scorn our brother who has fallen away, then God is glorified in our unity." The practical wisdom of this great preacher saint: to turn away from envy, to stop seeking to emulate those not worthy of emulation, to resist the impulse to be easily offended, to overcome hatred with love. The end result of these practical modifications of our day-to-day living is to find harmony and unity with our brethren, and in that to give glory to the Lord. The Lord who is one, even as he is three. The Lord who is the icon of perfect communion. The Lord who is the icon of purity, of grace, of love, of humility. And to glorify this God, to emulate his life, requires only that we take practical measures, practical address of the situations before us. And St. John Chrysostom, one of the greatest theologians, dogmaticians, rhetoricians of the Church, is also one of the greatest examples of that practical wisdom of day-to-day Christian life. Let us rise up by his example and by his teaching to live more fully in every moment the life of the living God.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe, offered to you by Patristic Nectar Publications, nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers.